Well, my heart says amen. Great is thy faithfulness. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. God is faithful. And the question we should all raise is that reality in my heart. Well, it's a blessing to be gathered together again this evening. It doesn't feel quite right to say welcome to the visitors when you're not, a lot of you aren't necessarily visitors. So I'm not quite sure how to say it, but thank you for joining us this evening. I think and would trust all of the young people would say we had a good day, did we not? I think we had a good day. I think the day flowed very well, and I was very blessed. You know, the scripture says that all things be done decently and in order. And I just want to bless you young people. I felt like we had a good day. And if we can repeat this throughout the week, what a blessing. And I trust we can. So I trust this evening we all came together with our cups turned up. What does God have to say tonight to me? What does God have to say tonight to me? So we're blessed this evening to have Brother John Michael here with us. Thank you for coming again, Brother John. You can come forward. And then we'll all pray together and trust God for what he has for us here this evening. So why don't we all stand together? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Our kind and loving Father in heaven, we bow in your presence again tonight. We thank you for thy great faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for pardon for sin and all the blessings that come because of Jesus Christ. And we thank you again for another opportunity to be gathered together to worship you. And you are worthy of all of our praise. And Father, we pray that you would make our hearts tender tonight so that we could hear from you. And Father, I pray you'd bless our dear brother John as he opens the word of God and as he shares his heart. Father, give him freedom to say the things that you would have him to say this evening. And Father, we take it from the hand of God and we bless you and commit our lives and our evening to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Brian, for that prayer. If you would have told me 40 years ago that there's going to be a time that Brian Nault will be praying for me, I would have said no way. As I look back over Brian's life and my life, there was a time that we didn't have our hearts right with the Lord. So I want you to know I'm using this as a teaching moment that God does miracles. God does wonders. To be able to see, I know you look at us as old folk, but to be able to see that God has done a work in our hearts and lives over the years and that we're able to be together and to have one prayer over the other. Thank you, Brian, for your faithfulness to the Lord. God bless you. You've been an inspiration to my life, and I want to give God the glory for that. I greet you in that lovely name, the lovely name of Jesus. And it's really a blessing to be with you again. Some of your faces I recognize from last year, and quite a few new faces. I know I might have some gray hair, but I want you to know that my heart is still young. And I want you to also know that as I preach the Word of God, that this man is still learning to know how to walk with God. Don't look at me as having all the answers, because I don't have all the answers. And you might be thinking, well, why are you even preaching if you don't have the answers? I want you to know that I'm going to share tonight with you what I do know. And I do know this, that I have the assurance of salvation in my life, in my heart, and that I love the Lord and that He loves me and that He's my precious friend. And that's why I said I greet you in that lovely name of Jesus, because He is precious. My introduction for the message tonight is maybe a little longer than some usual introductions to a message. And I would like to, for you to ponder, there's a word that I'm going to be using more than once. It's a noun. And a noun is what? Person, place, or thing? thought of that as I was driving down here tonight, that I think that's what a noun is, right? Person, place, or thing. And I had to think, I learned that in school, and I still remember it today. So as I go through this introduction, there's a word that I'm going to use that is a noun, that after a bit, I am going to ask you if you have picked up what that word is. More than one person here tonight said that they remember of different times when I have preached that I have used songs to sing with the congregation. And I love singing. And probably one of my favorite, or one of those that I enjoyed or enjoy her poetry and also as being a composer, and that is Fanny Crosby. And there's a number of songs in our books written by her. Fanny Crosby, the story of Fanny Crosby is that she was born in New York and she was only a couple months old when she became very sick. And their family doctor, their regular family doctor, was not available, so there was another man that pretended to be a doctor. And he knew exactly what remedy to give to her, and he prescribed, I'm going to call it hot mustard, to be applied to her eyes. And because of that, she became basically blind. She was able to see maybe a form, but was not able to see like you and I are seeing here tonight. Her illness eventually relented, and yet she was blind. A few months later, her father died, and her mother was forced to work as a maid to support the family, and Fanny Crosby was mostly raised by her Christian grandmother. She wrote over 8,000 hymns at a time. 8,000 hymns, and at times worked on 12 at a time. She would write the words and at times putting the melody to the song as well. And you and I tonight are able to sing some of her songs, and some of those songs are some of your favorite songs. Her piano, if you've ever been to the Bowery Mission, her piano is there. How many have ever been to the Bowery Mission? A few hands in New York City. The Bowery Mission is a place that works with the homeless and the drug addicts in the city of New York City. And the reason that that her piano is there, she was very instrumental in the rescue mission, of the Bowery Rescue Mission. And then when she passed away, the piano that she would play out her songs on actually now is there at the Bowery Mission. A number of years ago, I had a group of young people there, and one of the girls had the privilege of sitting down and playing the piano. And as she was playing the piano, I asked her later, I said, were you thinking of Fanny Crosby? She said, I certainly was. To be able to touch the same keys that Fanny Crosby was able to compose a lot of her songs on. The story behind the song Rescue the Perishing comes from that, because of her involvement with the Bowery Mission. The story behind the song Safe in the Arms of Jesus that she wrote, Crosby had married a fellow teacher, Alexander, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. They were married in March in 1858, who was also blind. And they had a daughter that was born and died shortly after birth. And then she penned those words, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. That's the story behind the song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. The story behind the song, another one that's a favorite of many people, is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. A Mrs., I think I have the last name right, Knapp, came to Fanny Crosby, and she said, I have a tune that I'm going to play out on your piano for you. Maybe you could put words to it for us. And she sat down and played this tune, and Fanny Crosby said, that sounds like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And within a few hours, she had penned the words, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Now, have you picked up on the word that I have used? It's a noun. Would anyone like to take a guess? It's okay to be wrong. Sorry? Song? Very close. There's another one that I used more than the word song. There's that hand. I'm sorry?
Poem?
No. Should I say it all again? The story behind Fanny Crosby is, and then I also said the story behind Rescue the Perishing, and I also said the story behind the song Safe in the Arms of Jesus, and then I also mentioned the story behind the song. Now, which word am I using?
Story,
right. The story behind each song. Now, what does that have to do with the message this evening? The title of the message, I've had about five of them. You ever struggle, especially you young men, if you're trying to get something together, and those of you that are ministers here or preachers, you at times, you know, come up with a title and you're partway through the message, that just doesn't fit. And then so you're changing it again. Well, I've had five or six different titles for the message tonight, so maybe I should open it up after the service that you will help me decide what the title of the message is. But I will tell you what the main theme is of the word, of the title. And I do have the word story in the title of the message. It would be interesting for me to sit down with each of you to hear your story. All of you have a story. Every one of you that I would sit down and say to you, I'd like to hear your story. A story, the definition of the word story is an account of past events in someone's life or in the evolution of something. Now, right away when I used the word evolution, you thought, oh, he's an evolutionist. I want you to know that I do believe in evolution, but in a right way. It means to develop and develop into something. That's what the word evolution means. And we're going to talk a little bit about your story. I wish I could sit down with you and say, tell me your story. Tell me where you were born, what family you're born in to, and what have been your highlights and your negative aspects of life. And I would love to hear your story, but I want you to know I don't have time to hear all your stories. But I want you to know that there is a God in heaven that knows your story. He knows everything about you. He even knew your story in essence before you were ever born, before you were ever, he knew about you even before you were conceived. He knew that there's going to be a baby boy or a baby girl being born. And we all have different backgrounds. We have all different families that we have been born into. So you all have a story. I think when you applied to come here as a student this year, I think you were told to write a paragraph about yourself, right? Wasn't there something that you were to write to say that you have a burden for? I'm just using, I should have maybe got the wording of how you had it worded, that, you know, if you are sincere about your relationship with Christ, you know, were you, in a short paragraph, say who you are. Now my question to you, what you wrote, there is true stories and there's false stories. So in essence, you were writing a story about yourself. And my question is, were you honest when you wrote that? Our tendency is, especially if we apply for a Bible school or something, and you've heard this phrase before, we put our best foot forward. Maybe we made it look a little better than what it was. And I didn't take the time. I almost asked some of those that are involved with the application process. I almost asked one of them, what were the responses that you got back? Were there any there that would have shared about their struggles or their areas of weakness? Or was it written as a, you know, I got it together. I have a good relationship with Christ. And remember I said there can be good stories, true stories, and there can be false stories. Were you honest? You all are writing a story. I didn't bring a songbook up with me, but let's turn to Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. It's 390 in the Hymns of the Church and 319 in the Black Book. We're going to talk about this song, and then this is going to be our invitation song tonight. And you might think, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. I mean, how can that be an invitation song? Did I have the numbers right? 390 in the Hymns of the Church and 319 in the Black Book. Now, I have used Fanny's words as the title of my message tonight, or of the message tonight, and that is the phrase, "This is my story." This is my story. Has anyone ever started out talking to you already about, you know, this is my story, or what is your story? So, giving you advance notice that we are going to be singing this song as an invitation song tonight, and you're going to have a choice as we sing this song. I'm told there's more lying done in singing than in any other form of speech. You have a choice tonight to lie as you sing this song. If you're not right with God, you're not experiencing that peace and joy. You also have a choice of not singing at all. You also have a choice of singing the song and its reality in your heart. And that is my prayer, that you have that relationship with Christ, that you're able to sing this song and to say, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Is that your testimony? Is that your story? Or is your story tonight a story of bitterness and of anger, and maybe you have never accepted the Lord and you're pondering everything that is happening and your story, you're going downhill and getting involved in things that you never thought you would get involved in? You're writing a story. So when we sing this song of invitation, and if this is not your story, my prayer is that you will get to know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You're either here, and I'm going to draw a line here on the board. You're either here tonight as a sinner or a saint. There's no in between. There's no in between. And as you're living your life, your story is either a story of being a sinner, or your story is being a story of being a saint. And I'll get into that, and I will address both of these a little more in detail. Let's talk about the sinner first. Before I get into all of that, let's go to the book of Jeremiah. After the book of Isaiah is the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 18, begin reading at verse 1. The history of the portion of this scripture is the children of Israel, or Israel, that were to be the people of God. They were the people that were God's people, had turned their back on God. And God is teaching Jeremiah a lesson, or is showing to him what is happening and what is taking place among the children of Israel. And he says, you go and you visit the potter and his house, and you see how he shapes and molds vessels. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel he made of clay was marred, in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemeth good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. A potter is someone that takes clay, and they put it on a wheel, and this wheel spins, and they will take their hands in the hands of the potter, and he can shape a beautiful vase or a beautiful vessel out of it. Now here he said, you go down to this potter's house, and you watch the potter as he makes it. And what's interesting in verse 4 is what we like to talk about. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. There was a problem. What was the problem? Did the potter make a mistake? Or was there an issue with the clay? Because later this same potter takes that same clay and then makes something good out of it. What changed? What happened? I believe it had to do with the pliability of the clay is what made the difference between whether that vessel was a good vessel or not. And I know that clay cannot talk, but this is how some of your stories are. If you're here tonight and you are a saint of God, and yet you find yourself struggling in your relationship with God, maybe you're not as pliable as what you should be in order for God to make you a beauty, to make you into a beautiful vessel for His honor and glory. And if clay could talk, let's say that this was a piece of clay that was able to speak. Now we know that clay cannot speak, but here you would have this clay in the hands of the potter. And as the potter is spinning that wheel, the clay is saying, ouch, oh, that hurt, I don't want to be formed that way. That's a sign of the clay fighting the hands of the potter. And some people do that in their Christian life. They don't allow the potter to work in their life. And because of that, you are doing a story that is not bringing honor and glory to God. Now, when it talks about this is my story, this is my song, I want you to know it uses it in as an individual term, my story, my song, but I want you to know that in essence, when you become a Christian, you allow God to write your story. And when you allow God to write your story, you are that pliable clay in the potter's hand, and that potter can shape and mold you into a beautiful vessel that will bring honor and glory without being marred. I know I mentioned that you needed to write a paragraph or whatever about yourself, but there's a good possibility there's some sinners here tonight. There's a good possibility that there's some here tonight that are sinners that have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. About a year ago, we were renting a building, our little congregation in the city of Reading. And it was a Tuesday evening, and the reason I know it was this time of the year because time had just changed. And there was a Tuesday evening is our children's ministry, and there's a side door beside our church where we were able to drop our people off and also any food or anything for the snack later. And I had dropped my family off and everything down there at that spot is parallel parking, so I had to go find a spot to park my vehicle. And I found a spot, and as I was walking back to the church, I walked in the front of the church where there's multiple steps that went up into the church entrance to where you could go in through. But that door we had locked because everyone else had to come in on the side. And as I was walking by, here I noticed there was a man that was sitting on one of those steps. And I stopped and I talked to him. And I sensed right away that he was drunk. And at first I thought, what is the use to even talk to a drunk? He was a sinner that needed to hear about Jesus. Tonight, if you're a sinner, you need to hear about Jesus. And as I sat beside him, this is how I started our conversation. I said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Robert." I said, "Robert, tell me your story." And he started out his story of where he was born and how he was, I don't remember all the details, but how he was taken to church. And eventually he got married and was a professing Christian and had his own barber shop. He said, I could have cut your hair for you. And he started telling me his story. But he said, he never said that he accepted the Lord. He said, he went to church. And as he was telling his story, he said he became bitter and angry in his life. And before too long, he was introduced to alcohol. And he said as he took that first drink, he never thought it would take him into the realms where he went. And he said the next thing he knew is that he lost his family, he lost his business, and he found himself on the streets of Reading with no place to live and no place to go. And it was it was the first time I ever saw a drunk man cry. But he sat there and he wept. That was his story. But he didn't change his story. I said, "Robert, God wants to save you from this." He said, "No, that alcohol is too important to me." And I never saw him since. Now you might be sitting here tonight saying, "Well, I'm not a drunkard. I'm not involved in things like that." But I want you to know that if you're here as a sinner tonight, you're just as lost as that drunkard. Even if you're going to church and making it look fairly good, we can hide a lot, but God knows your heart. He knows who you are. He knows everything about you. You cannot hide anything from God. A sinner. Someone that is far from God. He's not even allowing the potter to try to make a vessel out of him or her. And when it comes to sharing salvation in a message, I do not believe in pleading and just, you know, making it, an emotional experience. I believe that the power of the Word of God is able to reach hearts. And you know tonight, if you're here as a sinner, you know that you're not saved. I want you to know that there could come a time that you would find yourself hurled into an eternity without hope. And we're going to sing this song in a little bit. And you don't have the joy of the Lord in your life. You think you're having fun. But I want you to know that just like that rich man in Lazarus, when that rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, he realized eternity was sealed. We want to talk about the saint. Probably many of you here have accepted the Lord. But you have accepted the Lord on your terms and not God's terms. I need to go back to this. In order for a sinner to be saved, they need to realize that they're lost. There is no salvation without feeling lost first. You're here tonight, professing to be a saint. You're a church member, and yet you have never had a changed heart. There are people like that. There's different ones in this room that have had testimonies that they were church members. They knew how to sing. They knew how to do many different things, but never had a relationship with Christ. That's reality. There are people that are that way and find themselves in that relationship. Now, coming to the saint, or to continue thoughts on the saint, I want to share another story of another man that I know. And this man I get to see pretty well every Sunday. And even Tuesday nights, often there at the children's ministry, helping where he can. But as you listen to his story started out in a very ungodly life. He was a singer in a rock band, knew very little about God. But over the years, different people had told him different things about God, that he realized there was a God, and things were going upside down. Everything was going upside down. Even the group that he was singing with were sued by another company because some of the songs they were using were, you know, with all the different composers and not able to use other people's songs, etc. They realized that they were going to lose everything. And he had heard about this God, and he said to himself, he drove his little car up on the top of a mountain, on a hill, and he cried out to God and said, "God, if there is a God, and you are real, please save me." And at that moment, he found salvation in Christ. He didn't know much about God at all. He hardly had a Bible. And yet he wanted that relationship with Christ. Today, he has the joy of the Lord in his life. It's his story. It's a blessing to be able to see him. He doesn't know that I watch him sometimes. And I'm not condoning peeping during prayer. But when there are times that he is praying, I do peep a little bit and I watch him as he is glorifying God publicly in his prayer. There's an expression of peace and joy. And when we're singing, you can just tell he has a different taste for the songs of the redeemed and not of that rock music. You might think, well, I'm not into rock music. I want you to know there's many other types of music that are just as detrimental to your spiritual life as what rock music is. That's a saint that has found deliverance. And yet there's saints today that carry, and the tendency is, as we, us as Christians, if we're not careful, we will take on baggage. And if we're not keeping that close relationship with Christ, it'll take us into realms that we thought we would never go. How is that phrase? Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. What is your story? Again, you're a sinner or a saint. Coming back to Jeremiah chapter 18 again. In verse 6 it says, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." Tonight, are you willing to put your hand or put your clay or your life on the potter's wheel, which is God Himself, and let Him shape and mold you into that beautiful vessel? Are you willing to be the one that is willing to just be honest and open before God? To just say, "I'm hurting. I need help. I'm not finding my way." On both sides of this line. And you know who you are. As I mentioned earlier, that the children of Israel were God's people. And they were the people that God had given so much to. And had done many wonderful things in their midst. He had done miracles. He had done many things that As you ponder all that, you think, how could God actually, or how could people actually turn their hearts towards God that way? But that's what happened to God's people. And I'm sensing in our land, in our conservative circles, there's a lot of weary people spiritually. And part of it is because of all the riffraff and things that are going on in the world, and people are becoming more focused on that than they are with their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're going to focus on all that, you will fall spiritually. But when you focus on your relationship with Christ and have a relationship with Him, you will blossom, you will prosper, and you will grow. We're going to look at the words of this song. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, 390. In Hymns of the Church in 319 in the Black Book. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Can you say that tonight? Can you sing that? And say, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, the assurance of salvation. You can know you're saved. Spend time in the book of 1 John. That I may know, that phrase is used many times throughout 1 John, that I may know. I don't want to unsettle you tonight if you are sometimes in groups or in congregations, there are those that are more sensitive than others. And maybe you're overly sensitive and have struggled with the assurance of salvation. I do not want to unsettle you from that. However, I do want to put the plea out that you can know you're saved. You can know that your sins are forgiven and that you're at peace with God. And it's a foretaste of glory divine. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience all the blessings of being a Christian. Praise God, we can experience that today with our relationship with Christ. There can be that oneness in Christ. It's a foretaste. I'm looking forward to when I get the glory that there's no more trials or no more troubles, but I want you to know I can experience that peace and joy today in my life because of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're an heir of salvation. You're purchased of God. He purchased you. He died on the cross so that you can have salvation and that you can be forgiven of your sin. Not just for a week or two does He forgive your sins. He forgives them as far as the east is from the west. If you travel east, you're going to keep going east. When will you ever start going west? You still will keep going east. He remembers them no more. You're purchased of God, born of His Spirit. Oh, the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of an individual. Do you feel the Spirit leading in your life? Does He give you direction? Do you cry out to the Lord for direction? When I was younger, I thought I knew the answers to everything. But as I have become older, I don't know much at all. I need to rely on the Spirit of God to give us direction. Direction in my own life. And praise God, I'm washed in His blood. Oh, praise God for the blood of Christ. That shedding of the blood. No man took his life, but he freely gave it. So that you and I can have that life, that spiritual life. He gave the gift. It's a matter of us receiving it. Now what's interesting, you look at verse 2 and verse 3. She begins with this phrase, perfect submission. Ugh, submission, what a negative word. You mean I need to submit? We need to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that also means submitting to parents, submitting to church leaders, submitting to authority. One young man told me, he said, I'm not submitting to my church leaders. Within a few weeks, within a few months, he found himself behind bars. He had to submit whether he wanted to or not. You have a choice of submission. But the word perfect submission, perfect delight, happy, happy to be able to submit. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Praise God for His mercy. If it wouldn't be for His mercy tonight, we would all be consumed. But because of His grace and mercy, there's a song that I learned in Jamaica. His grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of You. Your grace and mercy has seen me through. If it's not because of the grace of God and His mercy in our lives. Perfect submission, always at rest. I and my Savior and happy and blessed. Are you happy? I'm not talking about a forced smile. I'm talking about expression. Just recently, one of the young ladies from the community there accepted the Lord. And someone mentioned later, they thought she seemed different that night when we got together for the children's ministry. Because there's a joy that was not there before. And maybe by our standards, she has a long way to come to go yet. But she has taken that initial step to get right with God. And that's what was important at the moment. Happy. Smiling. Even though there's tears running down our cheeks. We might find ourselves in some difficult situations. Our bodies wear out. We might be struggling with some financial situation. The list goes on and on, or can go on and on. But in spite of all that, there's a happiness. Because God is writing my story. So if God is writing my story, why am I so uptight? Why am I so fretful of the future? I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. It's interesting to see young couples get together. They get lost in each other. But I want you to know that if you really want to get lost in the love of Jesus. He's your focus. He's your love. And if you understand what it is to be lost in His love, you'll just love your wife, you'll love your husband. I know you youth aren't married. I'm talking to those that are married. You'll love each other. In the brotherhood, when you're lost in His love, you can't help but help to love the brotherhood. Being lost. When you think of lost, you think of wandering around, not sure where you are. I'm not talking about being lost spiritually. I'm talking about being lost in the love of Christ. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank You for this time together here tonight. Father, I just pray that You will use this song as an invitation this evening. Father, I know that many of us don't know each other. We don't know each other's struggles. Maybe we have never shared our story. And maybe our story is a difficult story. Maybe our story is a story of bitterness and anger and upset and things aren't fair, things aren't right. Maybe it's a story of being lost, being separated from Christ. Oh, to hear those words, I never knew You. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And also, Father, there's stories here tonight of repentance where You did meet a person and they became born again, but over time they've taken on baggage and they've lost their joy. The Bible calls it leaving your first love. They're no longer lost in the love of Jesus. They've lost their joy. They're going backwards. If you're not going forward, you're going backwards. And Father, sometimes our story of hurts and feelings and emotions and attitudes, that's all we want to talk about. When really you are asking us to give our story and place it into your hands and to say, God, I'm tired of trying to write my own story. Here I am, just like that clay is on the potter's wheel. I don't want to be a vessel marred because I'm not willing to be workable for the cause of Christ. But Lord, I want to be pliable. I want to be usable. And I want to place myself onto that potter's wheel. And Lord, I want you to shape and to mold me into the blessed, beautiful vessel that you want me to be. And at times, Lord, yes, it does hurt. Sometimes, Lord, we need correction. And Lord, we just ask that you will use this song in a way for us to search their heart, to search our hearts. Father, we have a choice to either lie to you, not to sing at all, or to get right with you, or for those that know what it is to experience the joy of the Lord, they're able to sing it from the bottom of their heart. We commit this song to you and this invitation, we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together for prayer. And let's stand together to sing this song. 390 in Hymns of the Church and 319 in the Black Book. If God has spoken to you, you just come front. Get right with God. There'll be people here that'll be able to take you and pray with you or whatever. Remember, life is not like a game of Monopoly. When you're all done, you put it back in the box. Life is reality. So if God has spoken to you, feel free to come front. And we will pray with you. Shall we sing? Are you being honest? Are you being honest?
Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.